This is a Podcat Nation production.
Hi, hello, how are you? This is Buff Wild, a podcast that heard late to the party and said, I don't know her. This is a podcast recapping the first season of Buffy the Vampire Slayer because we like ooky spooky content. We like Halloween. Let's put them all in one. I am your host, Olivia. I love camp. I love horror. I love the 90s. Put them all together and I'm there for it. I am joined today with my host, Nick.
Hello.
And Kiyomi.
Hi.
And silent, hopefully, host, Leia, the Pomeranian Chihuahua, who hopefully is going to be really chill for the next hour or so.
She's licking the couch for some reason. But
because she ate beef.
Oh, there's beef flakes.
Oh, boy. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you for joining me. You're both Buffy fans?
Of course.
Excellent.
Oh, yeah.
Angel as well?
Yes.
I haven't watched all of Angel.
Okay.
But I've seen.
I also haven't seen all of Angel, but definitely enjoyed. Mm. Angel was more prevalent like when I was of like a TV watching age. I started watching Buffy a little bit after the fact.
Right. Okay.
But I watched some of it, you know.
Okay. Fair discretion. I am halfway through Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It was a pandemic watch for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
We're in that point of like mid-season four where she's started college and it's that awkward transition period that all teen shows have that
right
choose to go that route.
This was like a high school show and now they're all out of high school,
right? Everyone's a little like older and not so cute and lovable, you know.
We didn't know we were gonna actually go this far,
right?
In the series,
like, we thought this was gonna be a one season thing and now it's like a decades long empire. But yeah, a great show that has such a huge dedicated fan base to day. A lot of queer people who just, you know, really found an audience with this.
A large cult following.
Oh, a huge cult following.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think we would be remiss to say that its creator is swine.
Yeah.
True. Hi, we don't like subtleties.
No. Yeah, no, he's gross.
Yeah.
He's gross.
Yeah, we are still in the midst of all of the allegations coming out against Joss Whedon for his conduct, largely on the set of Buffy, but also on the
basically everything he's ever worked on.
Exactly. Yeah. A trash person. It'll become extremely clear as we go through the next 12 episodes, but this is a big Charisma Carpenter house.
Oh, yeah.
Charisma Carpenter for you?
Charisma Carpenter.
Mm-hmm. Is a treasure who was, I think, the first person to speak out against Joss Whedon's horrible abusive behaviors on set and has been sitting with this trauma for 20 years and is a real champion.
Yeah.
We love her.
Yeah.
We love her so much. We are biased. We adore her. Charisma Carpenter, we see you. We love you.
Right. Yeah, I think it's like any kind of series. Like, we know other series that our generation is really big fans of where their creators may be a little bit...
transphobic and terrible?
Yeah, transphobic and terrible. And it's the same thing. You're sort of finding that balance of the fandom or the story and the art form and, that world has to offer. And how you separate it from the awful person that created it.
Yeah.
Has been an interesting thing.
Yeah.
For a lot of...
Right. The complicated relationship of knowing that you can enjoy something that has a problematic creator without enjoying the creator. And there's that fine balance.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think my favorite, way that I've heard that generally described is when all the allegations against Bill Cosby were coming out. Mm. And there was a comedian on SNL who like made a statement during Weekend Update that basically ended with like, I'm hoping that like someday down the road, even though I cannot forgive Bill Cosby, I can forgive Cliff Huxtable.
Mm.
Which like separating the work from the creator is
yeah.
It was poignant. It was good.
That is good.
Yeah.
Should talk about some nonsense?
Let's talk.
That
about
is
some
the
nonsense.
First episode of Absolutely. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which like, boy howdy,
a pilot fantasy situation show, right? Sci-fi in the late 90s can only
which like be I perfect. Just have to imagine that like. They did not know what a big success this was going to be.
Oh, they can't have.
No. Just like with the level of like commitment in the pilot. I'm like, this was meant to be like a one-off season shenanigan.
Right.
You know?
They got to like a few like halfway through the first series and went, oh, shit. Oh, people like
we
this.
Have a beast on our hands.
Yeah. The first thing that I have in my notes, though, from watching this is like, the first thing we ever get in the whole series, which is, you know, later on in the series, it's like Giles's voice being like, there is one comes before them all, the vampire slayer. But in that first episode, I think even like the first couple of episodes, it's just some like
rando,
but it's not even like a voiceover voice. It's just like, every generation,
somebody talking,
there is a girl and she kills the vamps. You it's know like, her as the Slayer. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for like it's that energy. And it's
so
and that opening is so of the time too.
Oh, it's
incredible. Like if you remember other shows that were around like 1997, 1998, they were all like that, especially the dramas. There was just like this weird opening. Like, sort of voiceover, and it was like just some random dude being like here's the basic plot.
Right? And it was like even things like a totally different show, totally different drama, like category and all, but like Law and Order that always started
right.
with like,
yes.
in the criminal justice system.
God love them. They never change the format.
Oh, yes. And they never should.
Nope.
You know? Yeah.
It's perfect.
If you've never watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer, if you just wandered on and you're like, this seems fun, well, we're having fun now. basic premise of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Sarah Michelle Gellar is a teenage girl in California who is the chosen slayer.
Mm.
How would you describe the slayer? They go into a lot of lore over the course of the series.
It's like there is, it's like the chosen one, right? Mm-hmm. So like, it's just you're predestined, as like the person who has just like inherits like the physical strength and the mental aptitude and cunning to be the one person to like take down the vampires.
It's like a chosen bloodline sort of concept, sort of.
It's like the Messiah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They've got some super superhuman strength.
Chosen it's one like, trope, yeah.
Yeah, Harry Potter, like same.
When I was watching episode one, getting ready for this, I had a thought about like the displays of Buffy's superhuman strength, and it's very much like a 5-year-old playing with like the dolls and action figures, and they're just like flipping around and like fighting, and there's no consequences because of superhuman strength and like childhood ideals. I'm like, that's very much what watching Buffy fighting feels like.
It's true.
Yeah. It's absolutely pretty amazing. Yeah. And Buffy takes place in Sunnydale, California, that is over the Hellmouth, which is
the
just exactly what it sounds like. Not a good place.
The mouth of hell.
Mouth of hell.
Right, Sunnydale, that's supposed to be like, well, like a couple hours outside of LA kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Small town. They say small town a lot, but like
there's a UC location there.
I was like, they have a university. They have a UC Sunnydale.
And they also, there's like a line in the first episode where they say, this is a one Starbucks town. I was like, can't be that small if there's a Starbucks.
Exactly.
Even if it is only one.
Exactly. Also, it can't be that small if you have a fucking university.
Right?
Also university.
That being said, just ongoing as we go through this bizarre project together. Buffy's been off the air for like 20 years. If you're complaining about spoiler alerts.
You've had time, my love.
Right? Go on Reddit. Yell like, about us there.
don't be sad if we say something that you haven't seen yet in the series.
It's been off the air for a very long
Olivia
time.
Olivia also hasn't finished the series.
But
and
I
knows,
know how it ends because like, I've been on the internet.
Right?
Or if you have anxiety like I do, this podcast is a godsend.
Right.
You're going to find it all out ahead of time.
Exactly.
And then you can sit back and enjoy it.
Right.
The same. My arm is real itchy.
Ooh.
I've got a this one.
Kill me, like, was mauled by my dog.
A raised weld. So Nick has a really aggressive, really violent, really scary dog. Don't know if you heard earlier.
A tiny little fluff ball.
She just wanted attention with her claws.
Yeah.
It was affection. It was affection, but it caused me pain.
Now she's cuddled up next to you.
It's true.
That kind of ties into the first note I have for the episode.
Mm. Oh, good.
Which I've just written, Sunnydale High, horny vampire attack.
Horny vampire attack.
Horny vampire attack, which I love because it does the old, like, you know, misdirect, right?
Yeah.
The classic misdirect for you.
So there was this weird epidemic in the 90s. On TV, teen TV shows, where teenagers would break into their high schools after hours.
Yes, like you such see a it common
all
trope.
Over the place in like 90s, like teen shows. Mm-hmm. And it's like, this never happened. Nobody does this. I don't understand why these teenagers in these shows are like, we got to get back in there. We spend all our time trying to get out, but let's go back in.
Exactly.
So weird, but it's such a common trope.
And it's always like after they've graduated, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Like, let's go back. Why?
Right? Nothing good happened there.
No, I don't want to break back into my high school.
Oh my God, no. Gross. Yeah, so first scene we get is a couple of horny teenagers just breaking into the high school like they do, apparently, right? Like looking to touch each other.
This sketchy, dangerous looking boy where you're like, ooh, I know what that boy is. That's a vampire.
Yep, there's a little bit of like, ooh, did you hear that? Oh, did you hear that? Did you hear that?
And he has like a weird New York accent for some reason. It makes absolutely no sense.
California. Right?
She's like, I really don't want to be here anymore. It's scary. And he's like, we just go up there anyhow. I'll show you scary up on the roof. It's my dick.
If it wasn't clear, this isn't a family podcast. Hi, welcome to Buff Wild.
He's like just trying so hard to be a badass. Yeah.
Right.
And then like, spoiler alert.
She's the vampire.
Yeah.
Mind blown.
Yep.
One of my favorite things is that I really just took note of when we were watching this episode is that in these first few episodes specifically, the vampires are all made out to be like, they're all really sneaky and conniving and just really all intelligent powerful. And like, ooh,
apex predator.
But like by the end of the first series, it's kind of established that most of them are really fucking stupid.
Yep.
And it's just like there's the one off. Like there's like, you know, spoiler alert for people, but there's like your spikes and whatnot that are all actually powerful. Smart. But most of them are like, oh, sorry, boss, I just wanted to eat a potty. Like, you know? You know, but they really tried to do something with the first couple episodes before they were like, no, they can't be smart. Right. Otherwise, this doesn't work.
Incorrect. This could just be me looking for problems with Joss Whedon and looking for evidence of his behavior. But like, I find it interesting that the first scene and first vampire attack we get is like teenagers on a date. And then this like horrible, dangerous, vindictive woman does all the damage and ruins the fun time. Like, is the vibe I took rewatching this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Not just lost on us, I
bitches
think.
Bitches ruining everything.
Right?
This yeah, there's
dumb
a, there is
blonde that. Bimbo ruining things.
But there's also, like, at the time, it, like, what it seemed more revolutionary because it was, like, always the men
totally.
Like, being predators to the large women and, like...
True.
Very so bad. That was, like, a flip of that trope.
Very,
I see where, like, yeah. It's kind of like a weird both.
Like, normally I would be like, yeah, get him, Darla. But I also just feel like with the characters that were given in terms of, like, the men that Joss Whedon created, i.e. like the Xanders, who I have a lot of problems with.
Oh, we'll get to that.
There's just, like,
Xander hate.
There's a very specific, like, early internet culture that was really fostered in the, like, side characters on Buffy.
Mm. Which I think, yeah, exactly what Nick was saying, though, which is, like, given a lot of the... themes and stuff of the genre and that time that it was easy to kind of hide a lot of those what we now know, you know, definitely is how the creator felt was able to hide that in what was just super common at the time.
And for such an early example of this genre that was so like trailblazing for everything that came after it, yeah, that definitely set the tone for the energy of the series of like, yeah, ladies kicking ass and doing stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kicking ass and doing stuff.
Kicking ass and doing stuff. That old chestnut.
Right. Yes.
So Buffy starts high school.
Buffy starts high school.
The theme song is rad.
It is
so good.
It's
so good. I just need to say that.
There's just
so much. You can't edit that out because I just did it over you.
We're keeping it. It's great. There's so much early, late 90s energy. And it's so like post-grunge angry and I'm obsessed with it.
It's the weird, just like the power chords.
Oh, yeah. It's just an entire...
It's just all slides. It's all just slide power chords.
That's all it needed to be. So yeah, we start out, we're introduced to Buffy, who's on her way to her first day of high school. We get her mom, Joyce. Joyce.
Do we?
I think we do, because she's in the... Joyce drops her off at school.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, no.
Right. Oh, I have something that happens so before many that. Notes before we get to Joyce.
Yes.
I wrote I have spooky vampire
so
cult.
Many notes before it says Joyce. I have young girl has a weird dream.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's
young
right.
Girl does have weird
oh,
dream.
Oh, dream about the weird spooky vampire cult.
Yeah, she has,
yeah,
like,
right.
A
I
vision.
I saw that and was like, I don't need this. I sure did. Yeah. Buffy has
a weird
a very,
dream.
Like, Harry Potter-like nightmare about
where
a
she's,
vampire
like,
cult.
Sees what's happening and what's to come kind of thing. And this dream is like, fuck no.
Yep.
Has her first vision of the big bad for this season.
The Master.
The Master, which we'll get to.
Oh, we'll sure get to the Master.
Yeah.
But then we cut to the car, right?
Do we?
I watched this 12 hours ago. Do I really not remember the key
She wakes up and her mom says, hey, let's go to school.
Yeah.
And then she goes, go I'm ready. And then she makes some weird teenager in the 90s comment.
It's mom's like... And Buffy, try not to get in trouble.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right. She's like, okay, Mom. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wrote, this dialogue is spectacular.
Oh, it's outstanding.
Oh, my God. And then this is where we get our first shot of welcome to the Xander Harris hate club. We get our first image of Xander coming in on a skateboard, some cool guy. What I've written down, I wrote is dumb boy sees pretty girl falls down.
I've just written gross and terrible on a skateboard.
I have Xander's a scuzz.
They very clearly were trying to make Xander out to be this like really cool dude character and like relatable in the first episode. We're like, yeah, we get that first shot and it's just like at him directly skateboarding along the sidewalk. He's like, move it out of the way. Boop, 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 boop. There's a Dennis the Menace energy about him.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Dennis the Menace.
Yeah. And then, yeah, sees Buffy and is like, boom.
Right.
He's an idiot.
Allison Hannigan appears.
A treasure.
Willow.
Xander
gives us the great line of like, because he turns around to try and guess help Buffy because she dropped some shit. And he's like, can I have you? Help you? Xander is me.
Xander is me. It's gross and uncomfortable.
Can I have you?
Can I have you?
His opening line was, can I have you?
But just beautiful writing. Just
right?
Top tier.
We're like, I know we get his just general skateboard banter, but I credit that as his first piece of dialogue on screen. Mm-hmm. Can I have you?
Oh, that's his first like, real dialogue.
Oh, yeah. So we have that. It's awful. There's also just him talking to his best friend, Jesse, but like the new girl.
Right?
Hottie.
Jesse.
Touch that. Like a bunch of really awful just like buzzwords thrown.
Oh, my God.
Jesse, who kind of looks like a vampire from the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Jesse,
right?
Who also just has the smallest head.
It's
small, it's thin.
Like, this is very clearly not a character we're going to get to know.
It's small, it's thin. Like, right, what is one of the things they say at some point? They're like, yeah, new girl, certified hottie.
Yep.
Which is a sentence that comes up so many times in this series.
Oh,
you're like, certified hottie. Buffy definitely says it at some point.
What I don't like about this show is how often I'm assaulted by the slang we were using at the time.
I like
which was truly horrendous.
It was awful. I also like in the first episode they're like leaning into they're like, we know that our teenagers right now use the worst slang.
Oh yeah.
They're like, totes, paws,
tubular. Paws.
Oh, and especially with Buffy's character because she's from LA, so she's like totally rad, cool. Like,
which is still how I talk.
It's true.
Right, you do. Right. Same. My favorite, like, Buffy specific slang term we get is just smoochies.
Smoochies.
That gets
smooches.
Used repeatedly. Smoochies. And it's my favorite. So we skip from all the, like, new girl certified hottie to Buffy's in the principal's office. Mm-hmm. Not for anything bad yet. She's just like meeting the principal and they're like,
Mr. Flutie is an icon.
Truly. A legend.
A legend.
And he's going over her transcripts and he's like, this is California. We're easy breezy. Tears at the transcripts and looks at him. He's like, oh, maybe we should look at your transcripts. We'll keep an eye on you, but I'm sure it's fine.
Spends the rest of the scene just sellotaping them back together.
Right. My favorite thing, though, he's like going over. He's like, welcome to school. It's going to be great. You can get a fresh start. And he's like, but I did see that you got kicked out of your last school for burning the gym down. And Buffy tries to explain it and then like dial back where she's like, I didn't mean to. It was full of asbestos. I'm like, not two words that slurred together at all. Just vampire asbestos.
Perfect asbestos. Same. Perfect same.
He'll never know.
Mr. Flutie's like, vampestos, yes.
Yes.
And you just see him like taping back the transcript together, right. But like wrong.
He's like, well, I can't blame you for the vampestos. It was in every house in the 30s. Like, the let's keep going.
I love that like he's the world's worst puzzle.
Oh.
Puzzle right. Doer because it's like in four pieces and like one of the pieces is like the wrong way. Like it's four
like,
pieces.
You ripped it you cleanly can in half.
Right. It was wonderful. I also like had a moment of like, oh yeah, the 90s, like as technology was like really starting to integrate. I'm like, that was a big deal that you ripped that transcript up. You're not getting another one easily. It's a problem.
How hard transcripts are to get a hold of.
You have to get it sent from another school. Also, that's going to take like 3 months.
My God. I've spent so much money on transcripts. Yeah. I've spent so much money on transcripts.
Mm-hmm. You want your own records? You got to pay for it.
Right.
Right.
You want proof that you passed grade 10 math? How you going to pay me?
Yeah.
How you gonna pay me?
And I did.
And you did.
Don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
I did by a margin. Buffy
I was homeschooled
also.
In grade 10, so.
Right. If you weren't passing, your teacher was like on top of it.
Because it was your mother.
It was right. My mom who was like, do it! It's just algebra. Right. And then I did fail math 11, so.
Oh, yeah. Like, my math teacher was also the gym teacher. Like, he did not care.
My math teacher was a family friend. So I just called him by his first name all the time.
Oh, shit.
We called our teacher.
Hated it.
We called ours Storm and Norman. Storm and Norman. Because he was a frightening man.
I would just walk into my math class and be like, listen, Matt. He's like, you can't call me that. I'm like, but listen.
What if I
look,
did
though? I just did though.
What if I did?
And he didn't fail me out of like spite. I was just bad.
We all were. It's a solidarity club. So Buffy's first class, she's, you know, just struggling to catch up with everything. She comes in mid-semester, I think, and makes a new friend immediately. Cordelia, played by the incomparable Charisma Carpenter.
Cordelia is so underrated too.
Extremely,
right?
I think they do her a real disservice in this first episode too, where they do the really weird thing of like her first scene. She's like, "Oh, new girl, I'm gonna help you out. Share my textbook. I'll show you where the library is." And the next time we see her, she's just like a raging bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, and like I get it. Like her character was meant to be that, like that foil,
yeah,
kind of right of that. The popular girl who's definitely a total bitch because there's always one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Especially in the 90s in California. Mm-hmm. You needed that trope. But they give her a fantastic character arc, even just like over the first season, let alone her time on the show.
It's true. Like, you like her a lot more by the end of the first season.
But I like that like right off the bat, you're like, this clearly is a popular kid and she's supposed to be super bitchy, but she's actually like, so much nicer than any teenager has ever been to a new student.
100%.
Right? And it's just kind of,
and like, not
sort of mean to Will.
Exactly. Yeah. And also like not defending teenage bullying whatsoever, but like a lot of her anger is directed towards like the creepy dudes who follow her around.
Yeah.
And by proxy, the people they hang out with, where I'm like, this isn't great, but also like, I see you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. We'll get there with you. We'll get there.
My favorite thing about the Cordelia scene of like the first one is, you're new. You're from California, so you went to this school, so you don't have to do the written quiz, but let's just make sure you're cool, and has like a 3-question cool guy quiz.
That's incredible. It's so weird.
That is very of a time.
It's like this piece of fashion and then like two, I guess, like famous people.
Yeah, it was like James Spader and I forget who the other
James
person
Spader.
Was.
James Spader. He needs to call me immediately. Like, don't pick up that phone call.
No.
Don't do
Run.
It.
I also wrote Cordelia and Willow need to make out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, there's so much sexual tension there that I missed.
Yes. So much missed opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Willow's just trying to drink from a fountain. She's like, ruling on herself. She's not sure why yet.
Right. Speaking of sexual tension. So Buffy goes to the library to get a new textbook and she meets Giles, who's
so excited.
Right. And for a relationship that's very much like a father-daughter, like mentee-mentor relationship, there's so much weird sexual tension between the two of them in the first couple episodes.
Right. Mm.
It's like they get so close to each other's faces.
He's so excited to
see
her.
He's always standing
like,
right behind her.
It's you.
And she's like, I just need a textbook. And he's like, what about this book on vampires?
But it's like in Hungarian, it's like vampire.
Yeah. And she's like, no, I don't need that. He's like, are you sure? And he's like pushing it closer to her. And she's like, I really don't think
he's just in the corner
away.
Like.
It's wonderful.
This makes Giles sound like a total perv.
Right?
He's like,
he definitely comes off as a bit of a perv.
He comes off like it at first.
Also, that library is tiny. They keep bringing out all these books. I'm like, there's like 7 books in that room. It's so small.
Where are the stacks? Like,
I have so many questions about Giles, his books, where they're kept, his sources. Where is he getting these like black market underground magical tomes?
Yeah.
Right, like that vampire book did not have like a barcode on it.
Also, Anthony Head's like one of the best actors in the world.
God,
oh, yeah. he's amazing.
Brilliant. Yeah,
he's wonderful. He just has like a level of like sweetness about him at all times.
He also played King Uther in Merlin. Oh, like the father of King Arthur.
He did.
And he's so good at it. He's so mean. It's great.
Right? And you're like, no, you're Giles. You're adorable.
Talk about sexual tension. Yeah, we'll do a Merlin follow-up podcast.
Right? He's like, it's Giles. He's so sweet. Yeah, but Giles, like, Giles fucks, you know?
Oh, yeah. Giles gets it wet.
Giles
gets it
Okay, I don't know why the term gets it wet is so much more graphic and disturbing to me than just saying Giles fucks.
My favorite things to say about any character in general is like, oh, he's going to get his dick wet. Yes. Just about anybody. It's really upsetting.
Right. So we meet Giles. He's great. I think the next major thing, unless I've missed something, is that like Cordelia comes to find Buffy. Again, just like filling in the new kid. She's like, you're not going to meet your gym teacher because there's a dead body in the locker.
Oh, yeah, they find.
And she's real chill about it.
But Jesse is also a scuzz.
Jesse is also a scuzz. Have we gotten to Jesse being a scuzz at this point?
He's just kind of acting a little scuzzy in that scene.
But
he is scuzzy.
But yeah, so we can't go because there's a dead body in the locker. We get that scene, though, which gives me one of my favorite lines from the episode is some of the like girls in the locker room. One of them's like, yes. What kind of name is Buffy anyhow? Someone, and then someone comes around the corner to greet her and is like, hi, Aphrodisia.
It's outstanding.
Absolutely legendary.
Kind of name is Buffy coming from someone named Aphrodisia.
I think these are also the ones who say like, pause.
Yeah.
Thanks for positive.
Yeah. Because
is my favorite.
Because she's like trying to like call her a liar. And she's like, neg. No, pause. Like, this is, what is happening?
Jesus. I'm disappointed we never got more of these like locker room mean girls.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. They're amazing.
Yeah.
Cordelia also uses the amazing term, extremely dead, way dead, totally dead. Oh, is he totally dead? I thought he was like maybe half dead.
Right. Partially dead, you know.
Extremely dead.
Mostly dead.
Right? So then we're still in the library, right?
Yeah, I think she comes to find her and that's how she escapes Giles.
Right? Oh, yeah, but she's been talking to Giles, which is where Xander over here. No?
No. We get that later.
Not yet. Oh, it's soon, though.
I would like to point out, though, that we were discussing Giles, and I didn't realize that wasn't his first name.
So at one point was like, Mr. Giles, and goes, that's not his first name.
Also, the understanding that at some point he like worked for the British Museum or like was the curator of the British Museum. At
a British Museum or the British Museum.
Right. Unclear. I'm like, okay, Giles, and now you're helping this child.
What a career trajectory.
Right. So there's a dead body in the locker. It's extremely dead.
My favorite part is how they find a dead body and everybody's like, well, guess we gotta go to class.
Right? I like the classes are still happening.
It's like, you think they wouldn't be sent home, right?
Right. Like, I like that Buffy just like rolls into the locker room.
Yeah, exactly.
And like,
well, she kind of snaps the door off.
Oh yeah, we get her first example of superhuman strength, which is hilarious.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, because she has to see like,
right, because the gym's locked.
Checks out bite marks.
Right, and also the body's there. There's no like, I don't know, there are no police officers there. There's no caution tape. There's no like just general right. security around the dead body. It's
like,
still
why
there.
Is the body still
the coroner's
there?
Not come.
Yeah, the school's just like,
the
I guess
body
we should lock
like
the door.
Wax at this point, and yet
he's like, no, Jim, we're watching a movie today. Like,
right, so then doesn't she go back to Giles
she goes
at this point?
Back to the library to be like, okay, you, and then I
didn't want to be doing this. I was trying to get away from this.
Right? And I think that's where we establish that Giles is the Watcher.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who is another person who's like dedicated to helping the Slayer with their duties.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, there's all these other monsters. And she's like, I'm not killing anything that's not a vampire. Just you wait, Buffy.
Yeah,
just
you're
you wait.
Kill a lot of things.
Right? I think
they get
like,
to a fight,
right? And it's just, through this entire conversation, like that, it's implied that while she was in LA, she was killing vampires.
Yeah,
she knew who she was. She knew what vampires did. She knew how to recognize them. She knew how to kill them and defeat them. And yet, she seems surprised about what a Watcher is. So, like, where did she get the information in the first
right?
place?
Buffy's a car czar. She knows what cars are.
Every podcast, I love it.
I know that you love it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Right? Seems can be said that. But then this is where we get Xander, who happens to be there. And of course, I've written
in the invisible stacks,
right? Which I've written. Of course, Xander overhears because I assume he was just following her.
Oh yeah,
like a
sure.
creep.
He was just like licking his
hot
lips, walking
babe,
around,
sexy thing,
certified hottie. How sexually explicit is Buff Wild gonna get?
I mean, we've already used the term.
Get the dick wet.
Get some wet. Giles fucks. Giles gets him wet.
Oh boy.
Who? Everyone.
Right. But yeah, so Xander, of course, is just following her. You know.
And was like, I've learned something.
Right? I wrote, that's oh shit, really Xander's weird. There again.
He just appears there again. Out of the shadows. He's like, vampires. But I think, like, we get out of that scene because Buffy's like, makes the very sweet teenage statement of like, how bad and evil can there be here? That was a delivery. I'm not an actor, obviously. But then it immediately cuts to like a scene of the Hellmouth. That just like the initial scene of the Hellmouth is be like pan into it. Looks like a plasticine castle.
Yeah, I was like, is there
it's
like it's buried medieval church here?
Like, why does it look like it's made of Play-Doh?
It does, and I love it. Right? But it's like this very beautiful, like 14th century like church in ruins.
Which makes no sense.
Under Sunnydale.
In California.
And right? Like there's just like
Bitch
I guess,
for Columbia bitch was not there yet. Like, yeah. How did that make
sense? I'm not sure the indigenous population didn't have Gothic cathedrals, as far
right.
as I'm aware.
Wasn't there
as far
vibe.
As I'm aware. And, like, was it... Oh, we learn his name. Luke.
Yes.
The other... Who's just, like, reciting, like, vampire scripture or something.
Oh,
I just
yeah.
wrote down, the sleeper will wake and the world will bleed.
I wrote, do you think the sleeper's gonna wake? Because he says... The sleeper will wake about 14 times.
He just keeps saying, which is why I wrote it down.
They're like, the writers were like, have you heard of Chekhov's gun? What if it was a vampire?
And then isn't that the entire scene?
Yeah.
We just get this weird, the plasticine castle underground.
Spoiler
Luke
alert.
Luke mutters some words about the sleeper will right. awake.
Spoiler alert.
And then
he
scene
wakes
changes.
Up.
It's like a 30 second scene. We're like,
it's so weird.
Okay.
Which like was yes necessary, but I'm like, oh, was it? Like, could you not have thrown something else in there to be, like, really consequential to make this worth watching? But then worth watching, I think we go to Buffy's at home and she's getting ready to go out. She's going to meet some friends.
Ooh, she's going to the club.
And we get some incredible dialogue where Buffy definitely fluctuates in the first couple episodes of like seems 15, seems like 35.
Yeah.
But she's getting ready and she's got two outfits and one's like full like leather bondage gear where I'm like, you're 15 or 16. Like, where did you get that?
And the other is like Peter Pan collar, like he's like pastel floral print.
And she's trying them on and the exact dialogue we get, which I think we both wrote down was, yes. Hi, I'm an enormous slut. Hi, would you like a copy of the Watchtower?
Amazing.
I used to know how to do this.
My only thought was Sarah Michelle Gellar has got range.
Yep.
What she actually does is the amazing thing.
Oh, yeah.
But you really see it on full display there.
It's exactly. Her mom comes in and she's like, hi, honey, going out? And she's been there for one day. I was like, please drive her to where she's going. It's a new town and she's a child.
Oh, right. And a mom's like, are there going to be boys at this club?
Right.
To which she says, no, mom, it's a nun club.
I like that.
I also like that Buffy can tell her mom on her first day at a new school. She's like, going out? Yeah, I'm going to a club. I'm like, at 30 years old, I think if I told my mom I was going to a club, she'd still be like, is that safe? Like, who's going with you?
Are you
going
to be leaving?
How are you getting home?
Are there boys?
Is it a nun club or is it one of those co-ed clubs?
Are there boys? I like the idea of both of our moms being like, will there be boys there? Like, why is that a concern?
Is that going to matter?
It's Nick. Nick's there.
It's Nick.
It's a bunch of homos at the club. Let's be real.
None of the boys care about us.
Oh, and then, like, Joyce is asking all these questions about the club because, like, you know, Buffy's had a rough go of it. Buffy's done some things, seen some things. And then she says, you're a good girl, Buffy. You just fell in with the wrong crowd, which I wrote down as, like, that was my mother to me in the 7th grade.
Yep. When she didn't like the track or trajectory
you were on. She didn't like the path that I was going on, so I got pulled out of public school.
To be fair, like, kids in your public school are putting marijuana on popcorn.
Oh, yeah. My God. Let's unpack this.
Can we pause for a second?
Tune into our other podcast, Saint of Love, to hear about Kiyomi's religious situation. And we're back. Now we've discussed the horrors of public school. So we're ready to talk again. Boy, howdy. I don't know about you. There was like just a couple things that I noticed about the show in general we were watching that weren't like direct plot points. Some 90s fashion.
Mm.
Some 90s fashion. The big thing for me, the big thing for me was like Buffy's once purple and then like bright blue eyeshadow.
Yeah.
That was such a moment that thankfully hasn't made it back into the general fashion circuits as the 90s are trending right now.
Yeah.
I haven't seen much of it yet.
Yeah.
Give it time.
Right.
Right.
It's only a matter of time. That's more a late 90s, 2000 thing.
A general observation just from not from the, just the first episode, but just in general, is Buffy always has her hair in these like very 90s like fashion twists.
Yes. Yes.
That are simultaneously of the time, but also make her look like a 16-year-old trying to cosplay as a 42-year-old secretary.
Yes. She's the one who like has a crush on a teacher, so tries to dress like a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like kind of a French twist. She's got like those weird clips in it that just kind of hold your twist in place. Like it's
right.
Yeah. The fashion is like very like you can tell it's late 90s because there's no neon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because like a couple years before that, everything was neon.
Oh, it's a lot of mixed textures.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot happening.
I had like a bright pink hat and like a neon jacket with like the weird angles. You know what I'm talking about. It was very
90s. The
iconic.
Early 90s.
Yeah, none of that anymore. We're past that. Now we're at like.
Oh, yeah.
You're wearing a lot of. You're wearing plaid, but also
lots
corduroy.
Of plaid. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Mixed fabrics. Yeah.
Not monochrome, but like not monotone, you know?
A lot more like muted colors don't do much.
Yes.
Yep.
So just the way I like to dress in general.
It's true. It's true.
Muted colors that don't do much.
I also just have notes that I've taken on Xander. And one of them just says, no. Because he's so upsetting, and he just gets
so
worse.
Upsetting.
Like, his character never gets better.
We get, like, hints of it in this first episode. It doesn't go, like, full, like, psycho yet.
Yeah.
But, like, we get strong hints.
He's supposed to be, like, a relatable character. Like, right? A kind of an everyman. Not quite cool, but not, like... Not a nerd.
Right, that's definitely the
like the like MOR. We used to call them MORs, like middle of the roader, because they weren't like really it. They weren't cool, but they also weren't like not cool.
Yeah. Right, they weren't like social outcasts.
And he's
but
clearly
they weren't
supposed
like
to, yeah,
the hot studs.
He's
yeah.
clearly supposed to like represent that group of people, but mm-hmm, he's like totally. Super not relatable. He's just like an asshole. Right.
Like, it's definitely a thing. Also, watching this in 2021, that strikes a lot differently. We're like, were this filmed today, what would Xander look like? I think he'd be like a shy bisexual, you know, as opposed to this really creepy, unsettling straight dude in 99.
Right. The intent of the character would be look so different.
100%. Because you want him to be relatable.
And probably wouldn't be an incel.
He definitely wouldn't be, because that's now a terrorist organization definition, right?
Yep.
We're like, should I be throwing that around so flippantly about Xander? Is this in bad taste?
I feel like if he had discovered Reddit or 4chan, he would be in that.
Yeah, if he had been in that computer club with Willow, like...
Like, we're gonna get into this more and more and more, and you'll... But, like, I think it's a fair assessment to say that, like, definitely.
I like the first time watching Buffy constantly asking Kiyomi, I was like, does Xander die? Does Xander die?
And me just sitting
and it's just like, it never takes...
You showed her affection, so just come back for more.
It never takes.
No, it doesn't.
Nope.
He dies just twice, keeps coming back.
I know from the musical, he dies twice, but it just like, it never takes.
Yeah.
Hi.
It never takes. Yeah.
Hi. So, yeah. So, yeah. Also, there's a whole discussion. I think when Buffy goes back to the library to yell at Giles about vampires being there, and she's... Oh, yeah. He's like, is the body dead? And she's like, yeah, he's dead. And he's like, but is it like really dead? Is this vampire going to come back as a vampire? And they get into the mythology and the like, oh, it's determined like
Buffy
how vampires are. What's the word I want? You know,
I just like the lines.
Like the lore.
Yes. The lore of the vampires in this universe.
Will he rise again?
Will he rise again?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because in this universe... To become a vampire yourself, you have to be bitten, and then you have to drink the vampire's blood.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm like, specific.
As Buffy puts it, there's a lot of sucking involved.
Yes, I have that written down. It's a whole big sucking thing. Yeah, it's a whole big sucking thing. Mm-hmm. So we catch back up with Buffy. She's on her way to the club. Which again, I'm like, she's 16. What club?
Yeah, I don't. This I think feel like this is an American thing.
I think this
is
a small town America thing. You know.
Yeah, I don't know. It was confusing to me.
But remember Cordelia had like mentioned that it was like, you gotta go to the Bronx tonight. It's the only place to be. Like, it's in the bad part of town, so they don't card. But it's only teenagers there.
Right? Those were welcome to the Weird House Club, where they don't check IDs, and it's only teenagers.
Right?
But on the way, she has an encounter with her friend.
So Buffy's walking through the bad part of town and she's just like wandering through different alleys. I'm like, what if you stayed on the main road? What if you went with a friend? Where's Cordelia? Why aren't you walking with her? But she's in just a bunch of alleys, like looking around, also dressed like she's dressed like Meg Ryan in You've Got Mail. She's got like a very shapeless button up over a t-shirt. She's got one of her like French twist hairdos going on. I'm like, I know that you're like a cool teenager from LA, but like you look like an elderly teacher.
Elderly teacher.
Which is how Meg Ryan dressed in Elderly You've Got Mail, also not fitting for her. But she has a run-in with Angel,
who's a super creep at this point.
Oh, he's just like a strange grown man in the dark.
Yeah, and he looks like he's 45 and he stays the same age throughout the entire series and the next one.
He does.
Wait, what did they do to David?
Yeah, because now he's unrecognizable.
Looks so different now, but some reason throughout all this entire series, David never aged.
Where I didn't realize that was him in Bones, because he looks so different.
He looks way different, yeah.
Yeah, so they have a weird meet cute,
right? They Angel chat. I know, want what you want.
right?
He vampire goes, boy.
I won't bite because he won't bite because it's unclear that he's a vampire at this point. But look, we know who something's up with this guy.
Yeah.
They make eyes at each other.
Standing at the mouth of hell and it's about to open.
It's hungry. Oh. Like the entire counter is upsetting. It's very upsetting.
Right? We like Angel more later.
Yeah.
So weird to start.
But it's creepy.
He walks away from her and he just like throws a jewelry box at her and she's like, okay. And it's a silver cross.
Mystical silver cross.
Yep.
This is the Hellmouth. Have a cross.
Everybody gets one.
We've all had those encounters, right?
Right. Oh boy.
So we get to the bronze.
The bronze.
Woo. The most confusing place, right?
Okay. This music is
okay.
So late 90s. Like it's like late 90s alt rock, and it is exactly what all the music my brother used to listen to.
It's everything.
And consequently, the music I listen to.
So one of the things I pulled up that I was like, oh yeah, we need to talk about this, is how frequently the bands that were performing were real bands.
Yeah, they were real bands.
So I have a list. Did you want me to go into them?
Please do.
So bands that get featured. So this episode they're watching, this is Sprung Monkey.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
To which there's a guy, I presume Xander, in the crowd who just yells, can you do it? Because I can't do it.
Sprung Monkey! You just hear it in like the dub, you know?
Incredible.
I assume it's Xander.
I remember their sound. Because their sound was exactly like everybody else's sound, but I don't remember it.
Also in season one, we get Superfine.
Mm.
Superfine. A couple songs get featured. Season one, we also get Velvet Chain.
Mm-hmm.
In season two premiere, we get Chiba Motto.
Very fun.
Very fun. Very, very fun. It's so weird. Oh, they didn't realize they had Sean Lennon worked with them at one point, which checks out.
Sure.
Also in season two, we get the band Nickel, not to be confused with Nickelback.
Nickelback was a gross post-grunge Canadian
Unfortunately,
band.
Despite their undeniable contribution to this monumental Buffy moment, Nickel didn't do much after their appearance on the series.
I don't know that any of them did.
Right.
Season two, we also get Lotion.
Gross.
And also Splendid.
Splendid, I remember.
Mm-hmm. Splendid also returned for season four premiere as well.
Mm. Oh, sure.
Season three premiere, we got Belly Love. And also Darling Violetta.
Oh, that I remember.
Yeah. For Faith, Hope, and Trick. Mm-hmm. Later. Season three, we also got K's Choice in the episode Doppelgangland. Doppelgangland.
That was too much for Nick.
I didn't name it. Season five, we get the band Devix. Their song Crush. Yeah, yeah. Key. Oh, sorry. Their song Key in the episode Crush. I've read that weird. And then in episode six, which you haven't gotten to yet, we get Michelle Branch.
Right?
Michelle Branch? Really?
Yeah. She was in the episode in Tabula Rasa. The episode Tabula Rasa.
They get the budget in the later season.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, because after Michelle Branch, we get Virgil and the Halo Friendlies.
Okay.
And The Breeders.
Yeah.
Angie Hart.
Okay.
Amy Mann.
Yeah.
Amy Mann.
Yeah.
Aberdeen. Nerf Herder.
What?
Nerf Herder? Really?
Yeah. So they got the budget for those last two seasons. They brought in the bands
like
of the time.
The earlier bands that were all like, I've heard of them, but like literally just heard of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you knew like the couple songs.
Yeah.
They probably played there.
Like there was like a band in the early season, like Dashboard Prophets. Like I remember, I don't remember like any of their music, but I remember them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not to be confused with Dashboard Confessionals.
It's true. But yeah, real bands.
Sprung Monkey.
Sprung Monkey.
Nick and I
There's
like
your
chanting.
Tagline.
Yes. So we're at the bronze. It's a really weird place. Buffy just like pays cover at the door and keeps rolling. They don't ID her. She's
They also don't tell her how much cover is. She just hands them.
She just hands them money, and they're I'm like, assuming you didn't she need hands to pay them. To get in, but
I wish.
Okay.
I wish.
I'm
that
assuming
was
she
how,
handed them like a $1 bill,
right? And there's like, there's no cover tonight, but okay.
I wish that's how cover actually worked. Not right. that like I ever go to places that have cover anymore, but
just, like, pay as you
it's
want.
It's like $30 now. I'm like, I don't want to pay $30 to get into your shitty club.
Right.
Right.
Ugh, exactly.
Here's $1.50.
Right. Here's some change.
Some change.
Let me in.
I found this in the cushions of my car.
Right. Please enjoy. There's also a stamp and a button.
I really feel like I'm at the age where I could just start being like, actually, my underage daughter's in there.
True. Be like, sorry.
I'm getting there.
I'm not here to party. I need
I'm
to pick up
my daughter, my child. My teenage son is in here.
Sorry. They're 15. They're out of control.
Am I wrong, though?
That's my favorite thing that Nick has ever said. This is... Thank you for that.
Yeah, no problem.
I kind of also want to use that. Yeah. To make it catch on.
Just, well, let's see if it works.
Right?
We gotta test it out.
Try it out first.
Exactly. Yeah, so Buffy's goes into the bronze and knows nobody, and it's really weird. At one point, this guy waves at somebody who's standing beside her, and she's like, oh my God, for me? And like waves and smiles, and like... It's deeply uncomfortable.
We're like, you didn't know who that person was. Why were you so enthusiastic to wear right. that?
My favorite thing was there's a scene of Willow just eating a box of raisins.
I've never related to somebody more.
He's like, oh, I can come to the club. And you're like, your iron's a little bit low. So I went to the vending machine. They got my favorite snacks with some raisins in a box.
I freaking love Willow so much.
She's so sweet.
I have a note here that just says Willow's got some trauma.
Oh.
Like, because like Buffy's like, oh, I'll be right back. And she's like, you don't have to come back. It's okay. Right. I'm like, oh my God, Willow.
Right, well, like, we see like later too, we get like a few clips of like Willow at home and like her parents that
her
are
parents
just kind
are
of like,
awful.
You're smart. It's fine. You can fend for yourself. Don't worry about it. And she's like, but what if we were a family?
Right. She sees her parents like twice a year.
Right? Her parents that both live in the same house as her, but she never sees them. Yeah.
Right.
But then who else does Buffy run into?
Oh my
club?
God. Giles is in the club.
Giles in the club. Still look real normal.
Oh yeah.
Again. This
in his librarian outfit.
Still being oddly sexual.
Yeah. Is so close to Buffy. This is when he stands like right behind her and he's like, can you spot a vampire in this?
He's like, she can definitely like feel his like chest as he's breathing. Yeah. Like,
yeah, they are standing like
horrible.
Awkwardly close.
As he's like, can you spot them? Can you hone in on them? Sense them? Feel
the
them.
Bartender's like, that's a cute couple.
And she's like, I'm fine. He's like, what about the nightmares trademark? The nightmares.
La, 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 la,
and she's like, fuck.
Right.
I just wrote Buffy and her fucking attitude.
Oh yeah, she's got a lot of attitude. Yeah, there's a lot of sexual tension. He's like, you can't spot them. You need to be trained. You need to be honed. Da, da, da. And she's like, that guy. What? That guy over there. Look at his outfit. It's super dated. He looks like DeBarge. Like,
and he looks like DeBarge. Looks like is DeBarge. My favorite part.
And she's not like, wrong.
I also like when Giles is like, is it dated? And she's like, it's carbon dated.
I love it. Like, I could be wrong, but I think Buffy was one of the earlier shows. Just throw down like the intense, overly dramatized way that teenagers apparently speak.
Oh, it was definitely
now
Riverdale's
just like flown too close to the sun.
Oh.
Like, this isn't what Sarah Michelle Gellar was planting for you.
Oh my God, I forgot about this. I just wrote down so that whole scene where they're like too close together looking for vampires. I just wrote, it's Vampdar with Giles.
Yeah, it's Vampdar.
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 I like just using vampire in other words. We watched Twilight with some friends and it's the weird baseball scene and one of them just yelled vampire and it stuck with me.
And every once in a while one of us will just message the other and everyone else in the group vampire.
Vampire.
Vampire. Vampire. Periodically throughout the rest of the movie just got a message that said vampire.
Right.
Vampire.
Because you're playing baseball but they were vampires. Vampire. You can be the vampire.
so we're in the club. This club. Vampire who looks like DeBarge has found Willow.
No.
Yeah. Because, oh yeah, at some point Willow and Buffy have a conversation where Buffy's like, you want my deal? Here's my deal. Life is short. go oh, touch.
Is, right. This is while she's having the, while touch. She's eating the, Will is eating the raisins.
Yeah.
It's like, seize the day.
Put down the raisins.
Put down the raisins.
Drop the raisins. Go find a boy.
So Willow finds a boy and it's a murderous vampire.
Yes.
So in this busy small town.
He's a complete dud. I'm like, Willow, come on. Aim a little higher.
He's so boring. Willow's just happy for attention.
Yeah.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Exactly. So Buffy tries to find her. It's crowded. It's a small town warehouse club. You know, I know what the bronze smells like, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Deeply upsetting. The floor is sticky. It
smells like old cinema, which was the club at our town.
Right. Exactly. They also
let in underage girls.
Of course. They love it. Yeah. Run into Cordelia. She's... Oh, no. We don't run into... Do we?
Yeah.
Well, so, like, Buffy almost kills
Cordelia's
her.
Buffy
there.
Is trying to sneak behind. Oh. And it's like thump, thump.
But before
up the
that,
stairs.
Buffy runs into Xander and Jesse. And Jesse's like, you want to touch? And she's like, hard pass. And like runs away. And he's like, whatever.
There's plenty of fish in the sea.
And I'm like, that's very much like the trajectory of you're not even hot anyway.
I wouldn't fuck you.
Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Buffy's like wandering around. She's trying to be sneaky.
She's
and then she
stealthily
like,
stomping up the stairs.
Yeah. She finds Cordelia, who yells my favorite line of the episode. Which,
oh, mine too.
Did we all write it down?
I absolutely wrote it down.
Do we all say it together?
what is your childhood trauma?
Amazing.
It's so good.
Buffy almost murders her with a wooden stake. And she's like, God, what is your childhood trauma?
Right? Like, and like, to be fair... Wouldn't you also be like, what is your deal?
I unironically think that is the most brilliant line in the whole episode.
What is your childhood trauma?
I think it's amazing.
Like ahead of its time. I like that Cordelia went from being like the cool kid in the 90s to you watch this now and you're like, this is the cool kid in the queer club as well.
Mm-hmm.
She's great.
God,
right?
What is your childhood drama?
She's evolved.
And then we get another flash, not flashback, just a flash to our plasticine underground.
Yeah.
Oh, right before that. Yes. Right before that, Cordelia pulls out the biggest cell phone you've ever seen in your life.
Oh my god!
Because
yes.
That's what they looked like. It was like a fucking car phone out of her breasts.
Oh, remember car
phone?
I have to call everybody I know.
Yes.
I'm like, who are you going to call? They only have landlines. You're the only person in this town who has a cell phone. Satellite phone out of her purse.
Truly.
Yeah,
but then we cut
to the
plasticine
place.
Yes.
Where we finally get the master.
Oh, so good.
And my favorite part of the scene, so the, for some reason, it's just like a pool of blood they've got, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's just kind of bubbling, where he's like, I don't know, incubating or some shit. And so he just rises out of this pit of blood. But my favorite part is for the first like two, 3 seconds before they like edit it in to
also,
be like the
if
actor.
I may, the blood is like bubbling Kool-Aid.
Oh, fully.
Yeah.
But like, they've done some like, really 90s special effect where they've spliced it together so suddenly it's the actor, but for the first like 2-3 seconds it's clear like a plastic doll that they're like derp, 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 derp. And then it becomes the actor.
The visual effects are truly transcendent.
Oh my god, they're incredible.
So wild. Where, like, they do get better later and I like them less when they get better, you know.
But they were actually very like, they're pretty like forward at the time, like relatively slow.
Oh yeah, it wasn't awful when we were watching it, but you watch it even like 5 years after the fact, like whoa.
Yeah,
right.
Whoa. Even watching the pilot episode,
yeah,
by the end of the series, going back and watching it, you're like, oh wow.
Yeah.
That was just a plastic doll and some Kool-Aid.
Some bubbling Kool-Aid.
Some bubbling Kool-Aid.
Hot Kool-Aid. Fruit punch.
And then that's
the entire
scene, right?
These vampires
are super gay.
Oh my god,
oh,
they
yeah.
are.
All of them.
Like, not like they're having sex with each other, but there's like so much homoeroticism in the way
so
they talk to each other.
They're so homosexual.
It's incredible.
But I love that was the entire scene.
Yeah.
Every single one of these weird scenes has been like 30 seconds of just like, ugh, creepy. And then we cut back to the story again.
Right? And it's so unnecessary.
Oh,
and like, I get it. Like, we're going to get more of that, and it's important to set that up. But it's so weird.
Right, so we cut back to the chase for Willow because, again, that's, again, like maybe 20 seconds of story in the Plasticine Cathedral, which is what I want to keep calling it.
Plasticine Cathedral.
And we cut back to Willow, who's with DeBarge, which is what we're going to call this vampire. And they're like, you know, wandering around in the dark. And she's like, I think the ice cream bar is this way. It's on Hamilton Street. And he's like, I know a shortcut. And she's like, I've lived here my entire life and I know every corner, but okay.
I'll follow you, strange DeBarge boy.
Right. Oh, we're going to go through a graveyard? Okay. And they're like in a graveyard. And he's like, just like the weirdest dialogue of like, what are you afraid of? And he's like, hey, you ever been in one of these before? And it's a mausoleum.
She's like,
no thanks.
And then he just throws her in.
No. Willow hasn't learned to fuck politeness yet. She's like, okay. She throws herself into the mausoleum. She's like,
she's like, oh. And I'm like, Willow is weirdly not as afraid as she should be.
No. Yeah.
For being like with a strange man she doesn't know, who's clearly making her uncomfortable, who's just right. thrown her yeah. into a mausoleum.
Instead yeah. of being like, fuck, I'm already here, she's like, that wasn't funny.
Yeah.
At like presumably like Willow. Midnight, you know, like it's late at night.
Here's my question about Sunnydale, because like Giles and Buffy talk about this earlier in the episode, that like weird things have always happened in this town. I'm like, how weird has this town historically been that the like a teenager can be thrown into a mausoleum by a stranger and she's like, that wasn't funny? Like, how desensitized
you're
are
not
to
being
everything?
Super kind right now.
Yay.
What if you said sorry, friend?
It's like the town that the Scooby-Doo gang is from.
Well,
it's a whole bunch of old
gang,
people,
right? Yeah, Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, exactly. Right, where I'm like, what's happening in this town that they are so horrifically desensitized to some really, really, really not good behavior
yeah.
right?
from vampires?
And then Darla fucking returns.
Yep. She's like just munching like, on humans.
Spoiler alert, Darla's gonna stick around for a while.
Yeah, she's gonna be real spooky.
Right? Oh, she's brought like a victim too, right?
I think she's brought
Jesse. She brought Jesse, who's been bitten.
Yeah.
And he's like, I think you gave me a hickey.
Right.
Fucking dumbass.
Allison
leading out
doing,
the
like,
neck
triage, and Jesse's like, we're gonna touch more, like what do we have to? Touching is what I've really gone for the word for all
yeah,
of this.
I see that.
Yeah.
It's good.
Right?
I'm trying.
Buffy shows up.
Doesn't
Xander also show up?
Yeah, yes, because I wrote
the line.
I don't
remember where he came from.
Xander shows up because she's leaving. She's looking for Willow. And he's like, are you looking for a vampire?
Right.
Because I listen to your phone calls and I know you're looking for vampires.
That's right. Because I didn't know why I wrote this, but I wrote, Xander, stop fucking around.
Right? And he's definitely like telling her this, like, I know this secret that you're making up.
Oh.
Like he's acting like it's some like story that she's made up, and eventually he's like, oh, you're serious.
And Buffy loses her shit. She's like, was there a news bulletin? Like, how do you all know? I just wanted to be a normal teenager.
He's acting like they're in some kind of like weird performance art. What world do you live in, dude?
He really does.
Oh my god.
So the Scooby gang is assembled. They're trying to find
Willow. All in the mausoleum.
Right. Buffy rolls in and throws down some classic Buffy dialogue, including violence, strong language, adult content. I don't understand.
And she also uses the term a job of work.
Yep.
Which is like, the more I think about it, the more brilliant that line is.
A job of work.
Once the shock effect of Buffy as a character kind of wears off in the first couple episodes, she kind of has the vibe as like a precocious 5-year-old who wants to be in every conversation. Mm-hmm. So she just throws words down that don't necessarily make sense.
A job of work.
A job of work.
And adult content. I'm like, are you going to fuck the vampire? What are you talking about?
You going to touch his butt?
Right.
But that's when we get our first slay.
Yes.
Slay.
It's the first slay of the series.
Yes. She's got her stake that she just carries around with her because, oh my god, yes, because she tries to play off having a stake earlier and she's like, everybody in LA carries them. Pepper spray is so passe.
It's just self-defense.
Right. So she stakes a vampire, becomes dust. It's great.
Right. Luke, she kills the barge, to be clear.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Luke
shows up.
They
Luke
get into
sucks.
Luke does suck.
What I just wrote is the little girl versus Luke because they described her as this little girl.
Right.
Very normal size.
Even little Jill is like, I thought you'd be taller. It's really weird.
I don't know what they're like expecting, like fucking Wonder Woman or like what.
Right. Luke shows up and he's like, fucking Darla, what's your problem? We're supposed to be getting bodies for the master.
And she was like, I was hungry, lol.
She's like, he's like, get out of here. I think at this point Xander has like taken Jesse and Willow and been like, we gotta run.
Oh yeah, they've tried to escape, but there's just vampires.
Yeah, they're surrounded by vampires.
So they're just the out there in the graveyard being like, shit, those are vampires.
Yeah, Xander's like, I should have just, you know, minded her own privacy and not listened to her conversation.
This is a very in-depth play.
Right.
Right. Luke throws Buffy at the crypt inside the mausoleum.
At, like, the corner of it.
Yeah,
And the way her body bends, I was like, how did her spine not
shatter?
Just crack on impact?
A child playing with action figures. There are no physical consequences for Buffy.
Absolutely.
Does she get in or does he put her in the inside the crypt?
He pushes her in and she just kind of lays there for a minute, which I kind of love, of like, maybe he's left. Maybe he thinks I'm dead.
It's super quiet. So, you know, there's going to be a jump scare.
Because Buffy loves a jump scare. That's the thing that you told me very early on.
Yeah. I was like, you're going to get a lot of jump scares. They're not going to be good, but they'll be jump scares.
And then he jumps in. I'm like, this is the adult content.
Now they're going to fuck.
Oh, they're going to fuck.
And then we just get met with to be continued.
They don't fuck.
To be continued.
Because I forgot that this is a two-parter.
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah. Buffy episode one.
Buffy episode
Welcome
one.
Welcome to the Hellmouth.
Incredible.
Welcome to the fucking Hellmouth.
Welcome to the Hellmouth.
Fucking Hellmouth.
Wow, 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 wow.
Adult content.
Welcome to the fucking Hellmouth.
Hey.
So this is an explicit show.
This is an explicit show. How did we feel about episode one, rewatching it?
Like, it's not their best work.
But it's also, like, kind of the best.
But
kind of,
it's iconic. Yeah.
Like, it definitely, the show gets much better.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, given it was 1997, so I was 9.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on.
Leia wasn't even born yet.
They did a good job at, like, setting up what the show would be. Right?
Yeah.
They did a good job at setting up what the show would be. So, like,
they made
it's not their best work, but there was promise. Like, obviously, they got picked up after the pilot.
Like, this was clearly a pilot episode. I like the brilliance of making it a two-parter where, like, you had to be committed. They made it juicy enough and, like, juicy as they could with very much the low budget of a sci-fi,
mm-hmm.
like, fantasy horror show that was getting picked up that clearly didn't have, like, the full series run budget yet.
Mm-hmm.
They hooked us.
Oh, yeah.
For me, it was Willow and the Raisins. That's what made me want more.
The first episode was, like, very, like, this is your formulaic sci-fi fantasy show of the late 90s. Like, they were all like that. Later on, it became a lot more, like, kind of transgressive in the way they, like, did the formatting and stuff like that. There was, and the storylines, like, it obviously got different, got better.
different.
But the first episode is just kind of like, this is very much how you expect, like, a teen sci-fi show to go.
Yeah. It's very much of the time.
Absolutely,
and the genre.
There is a very specific genre, like, subgenre that can be defined as, like, the 3 a.m. weird network sci-fi show that's just on.
Mm-hmm.
That's, like, comically terrible, and that's why it's great. And Buffy, I think, is, like, a key show in that demographic.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good.
Yeah. I give this episode 7 out of 10 boxes of raisins in a club.
Is it a different ranking system every episode?
I think so.
Yep.
7 out of 10.
7 out of 10.
What do you think?
Yeah, I'd give it a 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
7 out of 10 raisin boxes.
I think that's a fair...
Raisin boxes?
Fair raisinette assessment.
Right? Raisin boxes is my, like... It's my thing I really took
specifically
from this
episode. Sunripe. Yes. It's clearly the Sunripe raisins.
Is it Sunripe?
I mean,
or is it like Sun? Is that what the brand is called?
Sunripe, yeah.
It's ripe with a Y.
Why?
Okay. Because they're cool.
Yeah.
Sunripe.
Sunripe.
They weren't even California raisins.
No.
Right?
Probably for copyright
shop
reasons.
For copyright. The copyright of California.
The band of the bronze should have been the California raisins.
Ah!
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry for all the cultural references that all the Gen Zs were not going to understand.
Right. Sprung monkey.
Sprung monkey.
Oh, my God.
Sprung monkey.
Well, thank you for joining me for this bizarre pilot.
Yeah,
project.
This was fun.
Thank you for having us. This is very
thank
fun.
Thank you. We'll see you again for another couple of episodes.
Yeah.
And if you really enjoyed this episode and you want to follow along with us on social media, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram. Both are at Buff Wild Pod. You can also just find our Linktree page, which is Linktree podcast@buffwildpod that will have links to all of our social media pages, as well as other places you can listen to this podcast, and also places to donate. If you're the kind of person who likes to contribute to online content creators, we appreciate it, as do our lovely panel of guests we have for this season who have worked really hard to make some fun content. So that is there if the spirit moves you. But no pressure. We're cool. We're hip. Regardless, rate and subscribe. We hope to see you next episode. If you liked listening to the three of us just yell at each other for the last hour, we are all associated with Podcat Nation, which is a podcast network that creates content like Buff Wild, Marriage Guys, Sainted Love. Information for all of that and more podcasts for you to listen to can be found on our Instagram, which is Podcat Nation. It's a fun time. Check it out.
We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye. Bye.